Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You thought we were running on fumes, but we're in full bloom here in the Doom Room. I'm Alex, and I'm doomed.
Boom, boom. You're in the interview room here in the Doom Room. I'm Justin, and I'm doomed.
Hey, I'm Pete.
And we are coming back to you with a special episode of The Doom Room. Woo-hoo! Where we are talking to Hammerhead herself, Stephanie Chkowski. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Very excited to have you here. Very excited to talk about the show and Hammerhead, who is such a great character on the show. Yeah. So much fun.
So much going on.
Before we even get like into the span of joining the show or anything, I know Pete's probably bursting at the seams to just talk about how great Hammerhead is, because this is legitimately one of his favorite characters on the show. So, Pete, take it away.
Yeah, it was just, I just wanted to kind of Chris Farley out a little bit and just say that, yeah, your part was so badass. It was so much fun and such a cool, like, character choice. I loved every time you're on screen. I'm just very excited to hear about the show and your experience with it and kind of how you got started.
Well, thanks. Where do you want me to start?
Well, just how did the show happen? Were they like, hey, listen, we have a slew of badass characters we want you to look at. You know, maybe the nun with the chainsaw, but we're thinking Hammerhead. Yeah. Like, how did it go?
No. God, I don't have nearly that much juice. David Rappaport and Lizzie Baldassare are the casting directors for a lot of the Berlanti shows, including Doom Patrol, a lot of stuff that he produces, a lot of the CW, DC Universe that's on both HBO Max and CW. I had been in for them before, and this role just came up, and it was, you know, tall, strong, angry, blah, like various things. And I went in and auditioned. I think I lucked out, because when I saw the breakdown, I was like, oh yeah, this is fully me. Like, this is full.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm, you know, because my career up until that point, where it has always been playing, like, you know, cops and firefighters, and I was on Bones. I played a, you know, lesbian with an axe, you know. I am of tall stature specifically for Hollywood. I mean, I'm 5'10", but like, I'm a big girl in comparison to the fact that there's a lot of people, a lot of men on my size out on television. It's just right. The way it is, right?
So you've always been Hammerhead adjacent is what you're saying.
I've always been Hammerhead adjacent, exactly. So I basically went in for the role, and I happened to be at the time, I was going through chemotherapy for breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
So I had
oh, wow.
no hair either.
Oh, but that's
wild. I lost my hair. And I was like, when I was going to lose my hair, I was like, I'm allowed to swear?
Oh, yeah. Swear word.
I was like, fuck it. I was like, fuck it. I might as well just shave my head and get new headshots. And
I shaved
my head, and I got a headshot. The headshots with my bald head. And it was like, zawoom. I think a month later, I ended up going in for this. And I remember being like, oh, yeah. No. Sometimes a role comes about, and you really feel like, oh, yeah. Like, you kind of feel like this is mine to lose a little bit.
Right.
I just remember going in, doing it, being like, I think that felt good. I don't know. Oh, well, I have other things to worry about, like, you know, cancer. And my agent called me the next day and was like, you booked it. And they don't want you to change your hair. And I was like, that is not a problem.
That's perfect in every way. Wow, that is wild. The fact that you were. So were you actually filming while you were still undergoing treatment?
I was going through my last round of last round.
That's so
perfectly
intense.
Timed.
Yeah, it was in the perfect time. I mean, the good part about it was, because I had to clear with my doctor and everything, and it was one of those things that it's not your grandma's chemo. Like, it was,
right.
I tolerated chemotherapy. Again, did I mention that I'm tall and strong and rough?
Right, like, exactly. You wrecked it.
I tolerated it very, very well. So it made me a little tired, but honestly, like the most severe reaction I had to it was kind of like having a really bad hangover. And I spent my youth bartending in a bar that was like Coyote Ugly. So I knew bad hangovers. So I was pretty well prepared. Right.
Nice.
Wow.
That's nice. Yeah. Awesome.
And you had a role that you could channel any sort of frustration directly into.
Yeah, well, you could do that, but it also was just, for me, it was like an 18-month, like, just nonstop cancer bowl. You know, you're on this train, and it's so nice to be able to focus on something else.
Right.
And, what I find is when all big life changes happen, you can say pandemic or what, people die, babies are born, everything kind of crystallizes and you really focus on shit that's important. Mm. And to me, like, it's one of those things that I'm always like, at certain points in my time and in my life, I've been like, do I still want to do this? I don't know. Like, yeah, I think I do, but could I let it go? And would my life be easier? And it's kind of one of those things, like, when everything else goes away and the only thing you want to do is keep doing this, then it's just kind of like, it both reaffirms a reason to live, but it also reaffirms why you're doing it again.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's unbelievable.
Let's get all deep.
Please, we're here for it.
And it's kind of amazing that, like we're saying, that sort of segued from one part of your life to another into this role. I mean, other than the hair, which you had already nailed, or lack of hair, which you nailed, when you got into costuming, was there any playing around with that? Were they like different leather jackets to look through?
Yeah, they gave me a couple. I mean, generally when you're coming in for wardrobe, they have a look that they think they want. Mm-hmm. And then they'll go through and they'll put you in different stuff. And then Carrie was really great about asking me how I felt. And my mom was a costume designer years and years ago, like for community.
Oh,
here.
Cool.
So when it comes to wardrobe, I tend to really like to collaborate I like to collaborate with whoever the designer is, but not in a way that is about ego. Mm-hmm. Because I find that, and again, this is like, my mom was a costume designer and they wanted this woman to wear a hat. She's like, I can't sing with a hat on. Like, you know, it's just, I look stupid. And I mean, I was pretty lucky because I'm like, she basically looks, you know, Hammerhead basically looks like she rolls out of the Warriors. It's like black leather and like, how can you go wrong? Yeah. So it was a couple of different, you know, a couple of different jeans just to see, but it was pretty streamlined because Grant Morrison, with the exception of the big hammer coming out of the head, it was pretty identical. I think it's pretty identical to the graphic novel, the way the Grant had originally, the original inception for it.
Yeah.
We've already seen sort of the external Hammerhead in the show before. We saw you as Hammerhead. Yeah. How did that work? Did you talk to Diane about like sort of what she had done when you were coming in?
When we first had the audition, they were trying to get some footage so we could see how Diane was playing it. I had a really specific idea of how I just felt it. The interesting thing to me was I played it my way and then we played around. And one of the directions they were playing with, just because they're trying to help actors as much as possible, was that because Diane is much smaller in stature than I am, that as a small person playing someone who's like fighting against people, it's like you think of dogs, like attack dogs, like little dogs are like, ah, they're super loud. Whereas if you're big and strong, you claim your power in a different way.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it was interesting because I you know, we did a couple of takes and I was like, whatever. But I found that Diane and I tend to come at Hammerhead in the same way. Because the other thing is, the thing that wasn't part of this, and that's sometimes when you're auditioning for stuff, you don't get all the information. I'm like, well, yeah, she could be really yippy, except for... it's somebody else taking over. It's when it's someone else taking over, even if you are still a small statue, you're going to be like, fuck you, bitch, come at me. Yeah. And your power is not in yelling at someone and getting loud. Your power is in just taking space and, you know, cramming it down. So that aspect of it we agreed on, or that was something that I'm like, yeah, no, this is just where she comes from. Because even if she's in Diane's body, if we're talking about her being the Hammerhead on the surface.
Yeah.
It's still this incarnation in Diane's body, but you know, they seem to flow the same way. Mm. But when it came to our first episode where like there are like 25 Janes, it's like I roll like Hammerhead, I roll in and I'm dragging her by the hair. That in particular was something that needed to be chatted about just because Diane had created all these unique individuals when she was playing them on the surface. And she also had an idea as to how they interacted and if we liked them or not, like how you feel about different personas, you know? And I feel like a little bit as we go on episode or season by season, you see where people come together and you see the alliances as we go a little bit.
I was just wondering what that first day on set was like when all the Janes were in the same place. Did you all sort of like look around and be like, so we're all the same person?
We're a club, I mean, sort of.
It was really fun. I mean, every time we're on set with all the Janes, it's a really phenomenal experience. It's because, A, I think for many of us, Diane was on Orange is the New Black, so not for her, but like for a lot of us, it's the first time that you've been on set acting with that many women, like which would seem like whatever, but like it really is a wholly different experience a little bit. So that was really interesting. And then also, you know, you have at that point, I'd been there for, those were my last couple of days of shooting when we meet everybody. I had done my scene with my first dance set was with Brendan Fraser, which was, you know, I was a little like, oh my god. As well as it being, you know, just a lovely place to be, because also he and the director were very generous and just being like, so this is how we're taking it because it's underground, just, you know, talking about relationship between him and Jane because he's inside and just making sure everything was kind of matching as far as storytelling goes. Huh. It was nice because I'd been there, I think the very first time I was there for like 10 days, which was amazing because I was like, oh my God, they flew me to it. I felt so special. I was like in a car and they put me on an airplane and I was like, oh my God, everyone being there for the first time and just all the costumes and just the, you know, to see everyone in person was just, it's just every time it happens, it's just, I'm just like, holy shit, this is cool.
I mean, it's got to be amazing to read like, okay, none with the chainsaw, and then be able to see that is kind of
Or like Pretty Polly, which I still don't know, like Hannah, who plays Pretty Polly, like I love her costume with the big eyes. We still don't know what the fuck she does, but she's always there and she's an incredible actress. But her fucking costume is so hard to get in and out of, but it's just so cool. Like,
yeah.
Do you have a group chat in real life with all the Janes? Are you guys texting each other all the time?
Not all the Janes. Like there's about four or five of us on like Facebook Messenger that will be like, hey, blah, blah. Like we'll chit chat every so often, especially when stuff's coming up. Or, you know, we've all just been like, does anybody know anything about season four? Blah, blah, blah. Like, who's coming back? Do we know? You know, things like that. But
it feels like the underground is still, it's become such a big part of the show. I feel like in the progression. So I feel like season four, it has to be involved.
You
especially
though it's
sort of a cliffhanger at the end of season
three. Would hope. I know. Part of me is like, they gotta bring us back, right? Like,
exactly. Of course.
But at the same time, you never know. I mean,
you never know.
Season one, we came in late because it was a longer season. And then season two, we are there from the jump because they just introduced us. And there was a lot of Jane and the underground in season two. Mm-hmm. And then season three, like we ended up because of COVID, we got shut down because of COVID. Like we were literally, we had like 1 week of shooting. It was the scenes to finish out to you know, 2:10. And they called and they're like, nope, not getting on a plane.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. So it was nice a little bit because I was like, oh my God, at least I know I knew I was coming back for at least one because I was like, I came back for one and then I came back again in like five, I think. So I have a feeling that at least for me, like, Hammerhead tends to show up later. Mm. It seems that's what I keep telling myself. But
well, and I feel like Hammerhead is always jumping from off camera to on camera being like, here's what I think about that.
You know, or right?
Like reacting. Right. So it does have that almost theatrical reveal.
Also, I feel like, you know, we ended season three in such a way that, you know, with Dr. Harrison and me being like, you know, Hammerhead being like, I ain't her bitch. You go up and you do it. So I feel like even if we are in the underground, whatever's going to happen with Harrison, it leads one to believe that they have that talk and we don't know what's going to happen there. Then I'm like, well, if for some reason she takes over, which again, I do not know. It seems that Hammerhead would be laying kind of low. Like, I'm just kind of like, cause I just don't, you know, even though I was like, I'm going along with her. Like, it seems I'm not a big fan of Dr. Harrison. And if she's like trying to pull strings, I feel like I'd be like, man, I'm taking a break.
But let me throw the counter argument there. It'd be like Hammerhead would be the character you'd want to see the take from the most. She's like the opposite of Dr. Harrison. So it's like you either want to see the Harrisonized version of Hammerhead or Hammerhead leading the underground resistance. Like, fuck this lady.
Exactly. So the way they write, which is kind of nice, is they've been shooting in blocks. They've been shooting two episodes together, at least as of starting the last year. Because it used to just be one episode, like a regular, like a normal episodic. But they also write like a normal episodic. So as opposed to, like, I worked on a project last summer that was already written in block shot, everything, but it was all done. So this, it kind of seems like once they know, they let you know. Okay. That's how it happened in two. That's how it happened in two.
Yeah.
And then three, we knew I was coming back. So we had a little more.
Let's take a step back, though, because you talked about your relationship with Diane and how that developed. But also as the show, as we found out more information about the character of Jane, we've really come to understand that it's Kay. It's not Jane. It's Kay. So working with that young actress in particular and sort of pivoting your mind from I'm an aspect of Jane to I'm an aspect of Kay. How's that worked for you?
It's been interesting. I mean, it's been interesting, but it's certainly interesting because you're like, oh, Kay is part of it. Oh, wait a minute. No, we're all part of Jane. Now we're part of Kay. So it's, I think what it's changed is, at least for me, it's as opposed to being someone, perceiving Hammerhead as someone that's like protecting Jane, the realization I've come to is that my character is much more a partner with Jane as opposed to someone who is a part, but is also like a partner with Jane looking out Kay, whereas, as we've learned more, whereas as we've, prior to that, it was kind of like, I'm just this one aspect of her coming out.
Yeah.
So I feel like it gives, in my playing of it, I feel like it's given me, given Hammerhead and my take on it a little more agency, I guess.
Yeah.
No, cool. I think absolutely. Justin was kind of talking about this a little bit, but particularly towards the end of the last season, I love how Jane, not that this is necessarily the ranking, but Jane is, Hammerhead is almost like the second in command to Jane in a certain way. She's the one who comes in and is calling her on her shit and kind of backing her up, but also pushing her to be better. So it's been really interesting to see that relationship develop.
Yeah.
Almost like a big sister in some ways, because you see like Jane in the outer world feels like she, even when Hammerhead's not in the driver's seat, she almost has a little Hammerhead going on anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of, there seems to be a lot of similarities like crossing over, I think.
Yeah.
As far as Hammerhead, though, it's such an amazing, cool character that cuts through the shit. Like, do you find yourself, like, having a hard time turning Hammerhead off? Like, you get home and somebody says something to you and you just kind of lose
this
it on
him? This is Pete's looking for some very specific life advice. Go ahead.
Yeah, a very specific life advice. I would like to say that I'm pretty good at cutting through the shit in life. I think that's why I took the
nice. There it is.
I think Hammerhead is a very much a reflection of me at a younger, probably a younger age when I was a little less sensitive about other people's feelings. And I think that's why it's very interesting to play. I always encompass it as like anger. Like I seem to in the last year of like have been getting a lot of characters that are talking about people who don't know how to express their anger or don't know, or anger is also sadness manifested. Like anger is so many things as opposed to one specific thing.
Yeah.
And I think that, that has been the thing that has made me a little bit more empathetic to people in my life. So rather than calling shit on its shit is in the same kind of way, is being able to, I think being able to soften it a little bit because I have been known in my life to be, really, what I call direct, what other people call very harsh.
Does that ring any bells, Pete? Resonate at all?
Yeah, it's just I really appreciated all that.
we only do this podcast to have people out and do therapy for Pete. That's basically that's how it started. It was a therapy session, and then it expanded into a Doom Patrol podcast.
Well, people have to hear this.
I mean, I feel like that's we're just chatting it out, man. We're just chatting
exactly.
it out.
That's true. Exactly.
It's true.
Exactly. I want to ask you about a specific thing that happens towards the end of the third season when you had a puppet made of you.
Oh yeah.
What was that like? And did you get to keep the puppet?
I did not get to get the. Okay. I did not get to keep the puppet.
Okay.
I did, however, get to meet the puppet, which I was very excited about because too, we were there, I think for 409 or something. And the puppets happened to be there. So I got to meet my, one of the PAs or second ADs took me to meet my puppeteer, which was really, really cool.
Nice.
And then I did the VO. I did the VO like you do like much later, like, right. They did all the acting and then I got to see it and like voice it after the fact.
Did you like the choices that the puppeteer made? Did you really feel like it captured?
Honestly, yeah. I liked some of them, I liked some of them, but I also was like, and again, like, and puppet is it's cause you're heightening something at the same right. time. But I didn't want to. So we did a couple passes, like, cause you'll hear someone voicing the voice as you go. And I have a tendency to, when I hear something, I used to sing in like choir and stuff. And when I hear something, I can mimic it. And then it gets caught in that.
Huh.
So I had to, like, I listened to it and where it played. And we had to do it a couple of times where we just took the other vocal out. Because it just gave me a little bit more freedom to play and find what we were looking for.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and also our ADR director she's tremendous. And every time I get to
what
go
a
and
skill.
Every time I get to go in and do ADR, I'm just like, yeah, I'm back. Hi.
Oh, that's so
then
cool.
I spend way too much time there because we like shoot the shit about a bunch, like what's happened in the last year? Blah blah blah. Like,
yeah. And then she's like, I need you to say that one half a second faster. Just
exactly. Exactly.
Another thing that happened towards the end of season 3 is you got to actually interact with most of the main cast, I believe,
yes.
for the first time. What was that like?
That was such a cool thing to see, like, because amongst our chat, like, what do we wish would happen for the underground? It's like, I want, you know, I think, who is it? Secretary's like, I want one where we all switch personas, like, Hammerhead is secretary. And I was like, oh, I'm like, oh, I want us to become corporeal. So we're all up in the world, like fighting together.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But that in particular was just so cool because, you know, thankfully I forget sometimes because it is sci-fi or, you know, comic books, you can do that. And, you know, right. I didn't suspect that we would, and to be able to do that, and on top of it, you know, have other characters do it as well. Like to come to the fog, I'm just like, bring the fog back.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like a class reunion or like that time when you're in like high school where you the classes come together. You're like, exactly. I remember you.
Exactly. Well, and it's also that same, you know, if you've seen someone's work and you haven't been able to see that, like I have to imagine how much fun it must have been because in that same episode was, you know, Robot Man, like, Brendan and Riley get to work at, like, they all get to, like, be in the same together in a way that they haven't been able to do it before. And I'm just like, that's just so cool.
We do hope that Hammerhead comes back for season 4. But in the meantime, do you have any other I think you actually do have a couple of projects lined up, right? That are not done.
Yeah, I have one that I wrapped and I'm not allowed to talk about till next year.
Exciting, though.
About it nonetheless. And then I'm currently on MacGruber. That's where I left in a very similar role. I know it's really shocking, but this time with a gun.
Yeah.
That show was so funny. So good. If for anybody who's listening, it's
Peacock,
all on Peacock.
MacGruber,
now,
so. I play Captain Bex Dawson, which is streaming on Peacock right now. And then about a month ago, I have a little turn on The Rookie.
Oh, cool.
414, I think.
Okay.
And then just, you know, casting out the lines, trying to see what I'm doing with my hair next.
Yeah.
Paying me to shave my head again.
Yeah. Awesome. That's fun. It's good to be busy. So congrats
on
all that.
You know, I know. It's like, I was like, my hair is like, it was back from MacGruber. Then the last thing I did, they shaved it fully down again. And then like, and I'm just like, I don't know when I'm like, I've got it now. And it's kind of fine, but I'm fine to shave.
Yeah. That's your memoir. What's my hair like this time?
You know, yeah. It's like, what do you want my head to look like?
Yeah.
Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on. Absolutely.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It was really fun, guys.
It was great to hear your story and hear about putting the role together. It's
awesome. Such a huge fan. Thank you so much.
you're so welcome. Anytime. Oh,
and if you'd like to support this podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Doom Patrol, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. To subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. And now, before we wrap up here, a piece of advice from Stephanie Chkowski.
Oh, yeah. I've been saying just give less shits.
Ooh, nice.
Talk about hammerhead advice right there.
Yeah, there
it's
we go.
It's so true, but, you know, we get so wrapped up in shit that does not matter.
Yeah. Oh,
give less shits about stuff that does not matter.